And good morning. Welcome to this edition of Nature Notes with our naturalist friend Jim Gilbert. It is brought to us by Cardinal Corner and those good folks down near Jordan, Minnesota, that make the best patio furniture in the whole world. It's called By the Yard, and we'll talk to with Jim about that great family-run business called By the Yard. I want to talk a little bit, if I may, about some early fall birding tips from Pam and Lee at Cardinal Corner. They recommend keeping out those bird baths. They also say put out white millet to attract migrating birds. Geese and ducks starting to flock. Grackles continue to leave. Goldfinches continue to molt into that drab green plumage until spring. And they also ask, please keep those bird feeders clean. And did you know not to store your seed indoors unless you have put it in the freezer for a few days? Great tip from Cardinal Corner. They have many. We talked about the bird seed. Well, they have the freshest you're going to find anywhere. Anywhere from a pound bag to 50-pound bags, custom mixes. And if you have yet to subscribe to their monthly newsletter, it's free. All sizes of tips, great tips. And again, subscribe at CardinalCorner.com. And if you need a gift idea as we head into the holiday season, certainly, see the ladies at Cardinal Corner. They'll give you all kinds of gift ideas. Cardinal Corner is open 7 days a week. Lee and Pam are in West St. Paul, Butler in South Robert. Amy's at the Newport Center. You can call them 651-455-6556 or online at CardinalCorner.com. Check it out. Cardinal Corner, you'll see, is more than just a bird seed store. Well, good morning to you, Jim Gilbert, and welcome back from your trip.
Yes, and you know what? I want to hear a little bit about yours, too, in just a moment, but I just wanted to say for the marathoners, we've had rain out here this morning, but not now. This is in Waconia, 30 miles west of downtown Minneapolis. Strong southeast wind, 52 degrees, and I said like rain showers earlier. And this morning at 8 a.m. begins the 36th running of the Twin Cities Marathon, and more than 10,000 marathoners and another 12,500 10-milers running, thousands of people cheering them on. We usually have family members running. We have, at least for the last few years, we have, but and Christian, our son, is one who's run the most marathons, but we don't have anybody this year. But anyway,
well, yeah, they're gonna they're
gonna
have a wet day, a wet run for sure.
Yeah.
Today it looks like. But I mentioned the trip earlier, Jim, so I won't go into detail. But I had a great time. I learned a whole lot that I think it really brought it home to see Gettysburg and the Liberty Bell, Independence Hall. All the memorials in Washington, D.C. It was just a marvelous tour.
Isn't that something?
And very moving.
Did you get to Colonial Williamsburg?
Yes, we did. We did all that. Jamestown, Yorktown.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. What a trip you had.
And I spent, I mentioned earlier, 4 hours at the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum. Oh, was that something?
Oh, isn't that something?
Oh, boy. But it was a good trip. And what about yours now?
Well, you know, it was good. We went from September 20th to 28th. Sandy and I were hosts for a trip to the Alpine parts of Austria and Germany. This is led by Michael Kenny from Defined Destinations and our guide, Peter Sulzenbacher from Kitzbühel, Austria. And the first ad for this trip was aired on WCCO Radio during this show last January 22nd. So finally, 32 people got together, and we traveled by motor coach, of course, flying first, 4,600 miles from the Twin Cities to Munich, and then Kitzbühel, a quaint village in the Alps in Austria, stayed 4 nights. Then we went to Garmisch, Germany, where we spent 3 nights on the shore of beautiful glacial lake. Ibsee, and both places where we stayed were surrounded by snow-capped Alps.
Oh,
some
boy.
Highlights, just a couple highlights, the cities of Salzburg and Innsbruck, Austria, attended Oktoberfest in Munich, walked in beautiful alpine meadows, stunning views of mountains, villages, and farms. We did see, and here, Danny, we saw fall foliage colors, beautiful reds on maples and horse chestnuts, and golden yellows on beaches, and much more. So it was fun to see the fall colors, too.
Oh, that's such a great area. I'd love to go back and see Austria and Germany again. Beautiful.
Oh,
How was the weather? Pretty good?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
good.
It really was. Cooler, much cooler than the Twin Cities.
Oh, boy.
You know, here you had those 3 days of 90 or above.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Oh, it's good to be here. Let me tell you, no place like home. Say sunrise, 7:11. So it's just rose. And sunset tonight, 6:53. So today in the Twin Cities area, we have 11 hours, 42 minutes of daylight. We have lost 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 21 minutes since last Sunday, and 3 hours and 54 minutes is the total daylight loss since June 20th, our summer solstice. We still have 2 hours and 55 minutes of daylight to lose by December 21st, our winter solstice, and first day of astronomical winter, and the shortest daylight period of the year. The normal high for today is 65, and the normal low, 45. Records for today, October 1st, in the Twin Cities, high of 87, set way back in 1897, record low 24, only 24, set in 1974, and this day in 2009, we had the most precipitation ever recorded on this on October 1st, 1.29 inches. Let's hope we don't beat that one. The waxing gibbous moon set at 2:29 a.m. and rises again at 5:03 p.m., the next full moon, which is called the harvest moon, is this coming Thursday, October 5th. Ray and Marlene Simon from Northfield saw the first soybean field combine right near Northfield on September 22nd. Diana and David Herring, who live near Waterville, report seeing a farmer near Elysian combining early soybeans also on September 22nd. They also saw early soybean harvesting in Waterville area, Faribault, and the center all in the last few days. By the way, Minnesota is number 3 in soybean production. Gardeners continue to pick cucumbers, ripe tomatoes, peppers, fall-bearing raspberries, and much more. Apple growers like Danny and Lynn Havlicek from Havlicek Orchard, located about 7 miles northeast of New Prague, had begun picking fireside and keepsake since last midweek and continue picking Northwest Greening, Red Harrelson, Prairie Spy, Cortland, Red Whale, Honeycrisp, Sweet Tango, and Snow Sweet. More than 100 varieties of apples are grown in Minnesota. Of course, each one has its own special flavor and texture. Denny Havlicek will be at the farmer's market at 43rd and Nicollet. That's in the Minneapolis Kingfield neighborhood today. And their orchard is open for pick your own on Saturdays and Sundays. This past Friday afternoon, I brought some books from our home to the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum for the Friends of Anderson Horticulture Library. Horticultural Library annual book sale, which will take place in the McMillan Auditorium next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That'd be October 6th, 7th, and 8th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. This year, over 10,000 books plus in 30-plus categories, including fiction, history, nature, gardening, sports, cooking, boating, and sailing and fishing, will be on sale. While at the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, I enjoyed seeing patches of red and burnt orange fall colors on the native sugar maples and saw that the garden and shrub rows were still blooming nicely, as were the dahlias, annuals like salvia, zinnias, Mexican sunflower, dragonweed, begonia, canna lilies, all very showy. Richard and Marlis York from Chisago City note that monarch and painted lady butterflies have continued to visit their annual flowers for nectar. We're still seeing a few monarch butterflies stopping to nectar on as they head south, and they like wild asters, Mexican sunflower, of course, the zinnias. Ward Johnson is quite a man. He's from Minneapolis. He takes his interest in conservation of monarch butterflies very serious. And I mention this again, Denny, because he's trying to get more seeds for the packets. He and his wife, Ann, have distributed over 2 million packets of milkweed seeds. And this year they're even trying, this coming next year, they want to even do more. But milkweeds are the key to our monarch's survival because their leaves are what the female monarchs lay their eggs on and the caterpillars eat. The idea that Ward has is save our monarchs one milkweed plant at a time. Now, he could sure use help from many CCO listeners and friends. The common milkweeds are now shedding their seeds. Now, they have pods about 3 to 4 inches long, and they're poofing out. You separate, you know, the seeds, these brown seeds, from the carriers. Try to build up at least a fourth of a pound, and then send them to Ward. You find the address by the website, saveourmonarchs.org, saveourmonarchs.org. Many teachers might be interested in this and getting their students out looking for these seeds, collecting them maybe as a school project.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I know. And maybe somebody who's not able to could maybe make a donation of money and send it to that. And they'll get the address off that website. See, Rick Haley from Delano reports that for 2 weeks starting September 3rd, numerous painted lady butterflies with their orange and brown 2-inch wingspans were seen blooming on sedum, Joe pieweed, and other flowers. And you know what? It goes on and on and on about these painted lady butterflies. Some of them hibernate as adults, and that's what so many people want to know. Kim and Lori McInthune, who live just south of Waconia, had several feeders for orioles and a dozen feeders out for hummingbirds. They report the last Baltimore Orioles were seen September 15th, the last ruby-throated hummingbird September 27th. We lost a faithful listener to Nature Notes here on CCO Radio with the passing of Mary Lutke from St. Bonifacius area. She shared her nature observations with me for over 30 years, like ice out, blooming of wildflowers, birds returning. I'll miss her greatly. She has a great family. My brother David reports that fall leaf colors in the reds, the yellows, the golden yellows, I won't even name all the trees, but were very, very nice yesterday in Itasca State Park. And Mary and David Brislance from Lutzen note that there are pockets of great fall leaf colors, especially inland, along the Honeymoon Trail, and in the Finland and Tetegush areas. This is a weekend to be near the North Shore of Lake Superior.
Oh, that's, I wish I was. Well, Jim.
Oh, I know.
I was thinking, and we were talking with the good folks at Buy the Yard. They want us to talk about something that we don't usually talk about, and that's fire tables that they have.
You know, I went to see the fire tables. You mentioned them.
Yeah.
The last few weeks. And I went to see them. They are spectacular.
They're maintenance-free. Nothing could be easier. Touch of a button, just like your grill. If you have a gas grill, you turn the dial, the fire is out when you're all finished with your outside party. Several different styles and heights to choose from. You're going to find the perfect fit for your backyard, your patio, or maybe your deck. Just go on the web, buytheyard.net, or do what Jim and I have done often, is get down to the showroom. It's a quick drive down 169. In fact, I didn't know this, Jim, but you can cook a hot dog or something on that fire table as well.
Deb told me that.
And again, if you somebody spills a s'mores or marshmallow or whatever, not to worry. You can wash those fire gems right in the dishwasher. Tell you what, here's the phone number, 952-492-2777. Or as I said, get on the web at buytheyard.net. Check out those fire tables from that family-run business called Buy the Yard. Jim, we have about 3 minutes, and that's it to go.
Okay. Well, Captain Rob Herring from Optimum Charters out of Canal Park in Duluth reports that yesterday morning at 8:30, the surface temperature of Lake Superior out about 7 miles from Duluth was 61. Now, that's pretty warm. But the surprising thing was down 100 feet, it was still 58, and that's because they had some strong east winds lately. But down 172 feet, where they were probably fishing for lake trout, the temperature was down to 45 degrees. Tom and Lisa Bovers from Faribault report seeing the first migrating white-throated sparrow September 25th and the first dark-eyed juncos this past Friday. That would be the 29th of September. Yesterday, they still had one ruby-throated hummingbird coming to their feeder. And Julie Brophy, while walking the loose line, that's a trail and a bike trail, west of Watertown around 12:30, that was on Thursday, she observed Painted Lady and Morning Cloak butterflies and a monarch butterfly heading south and woolly bear caterpillars, those banded woolly bear caterpillars, crossing the trail. And Kyle, I hope I pronounced this right, Teepool, must have been a good movement last night. And he's talking about the 28th into the morning of the 29th of September. And he says, as of the 29th morning, I got a ton. I don't think he really means a ton, but that means many, many. Of birds in my yard and woods nearby. This is near Stillwater. Most of them were the usual ones, but several red-breasted nuthatches, brown creepers, dozens of both kinglets, that would be golden crown and ruby crown, and a few new yard birds for me, including gray cheek thrush and a winter wren.
Very good, Jim. Well,
those are our reports.
Those are the reports. They're welcome back again from a marvelous trip. And how about 1 week from today? We'll get together.
Look forward to it.
All right.
Go runners and go Vikings.
Good deal. Thanks, Jim.
Okay.
Talk to you next
Bye
week.
For now.
Jim Gilbert back with more Nature Notes next Sunday morning here on 830 WCCO. Temp at 57.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.